the things which we derived last week. So we derived lots of things last week, so let us write them here. So we derived for intrinsic curvature from full GR, if you write down the perturbation equation, the full equation including for the perturbed background, so this was the intrinsic curvature equation. So what we are going to do now, so this was for, we had taken a background, which is FRW, and then we have perturbed it. So what we will do today is to see what is the perturbation equation coming from here. So this was the, we'll use this today. And then we also have the extrinsic curvature equation, which was minus H delta IJ and then minus A square by M naught PN DJ minus beta. Okay, so now we want to do the following exercise. We also had the our energy density constraint, which is equation 13 of Bardeen, which was R, this is 3R, minus KI KJ, KIJ KIJ, plus square of the trace of the extrinsic curvature is this. So this is our initial energy density constraint or the Hamiltonian constraint. So now what we are going to do is we are going to perturb this equation, okay, put these quantities inside, and then we'll get one of the equations which is the first equation which you'll see in all the books on the perturbations. Okay, so but this will come directly from just the Hamiltonian constraint. That is the, that is why Bardeen's review is so beautiful, that now you will see clearly why some perturbation equation comes from and what it does, what does it correspond to. So to do this, let us so what is going to be the perturbation of this? So we want to, so I'm going to drop this 3R, 3 here, superscript. And now we want to do the following. So we want to take the perturbation of this equation, and what we are interested in computing is delta R minus delta of KIJ KIJ plus delta of K square is equal to 16 pi GE delta of E. Okay? This is what we want to compute. So now let us start with, so we are going to use all these two equations because they have the full information about R and K. Okay, they know completely about the inhomogeneous background. So let us do that. So now, so the first step is to take the trace of the first equation. Let us take trace of it so that we can get equation for Ricci scalar on the hypersurface. And then we will find its perturbation, delta R. So if you do the trace of R from the top equation, you'll get a 6C by A square, because if you contract I and J, then delta IJ gives you 3, because we are on 3 dimensions. Then the next one will give you minus of delta phi plus 4C by A square phi. Times 3, again, because there's a delta IJ. And then there is a minus DI DJ, which is going to just give you delta of phi, where this capital delta is di di. Okay? So this is the equation. Now I can find, I know this is the background term, because this is, this we have shown in our first homework, that this is my background, rich of the rich, Ricci background on the hypersurface. So this whole is my perturbation. This is delta r. Okay? So my delta r, so there is a minus 3 delta phi and minus delta phi. So this is minus 4 delta phi now. So my delta r is minus 4 delta phi minus 12c by a square phi. This is the first equation I need. So I have one piece delta r here. Okay. So now let us compute this part. This I will give as a homework. This is very straightforward, but we can do in 5 or 6 steps. It is easy. So, but let us first do delta k. Once we know delta k, this can also be done in a similar way. So we have kij equation. Now let's take trace of this equation. So this equation is going to give me capital K. Okay, so capital K, the first term is the background term, which is minus 3h, which was also your homework, one of the exercises. And then we have the other part, before we do that, let us write in terms of this kappa and xi, like that is, then it becomes easier. So let us rewrite it. So let us recall that chi is a square by n naught gamma dot plus beta. And then there is this kappa, which I am not writing as kappa, but small k, slightly curly k. Okay, I want to spend 1 minute on these symbols. So if you look at some books, like most of the books, they also have, some of the books also have chi, and they also have kappa. Okay, but they will not be in this form. So first of all, so they are mostly in the conformal time form. Okay, and if you try to go from here directly going through conformal time, you may see like it is difficult to see how those expressions originate. So the way they do it is they start from scratch, the theory of metric perturbations in conformal time, and then they define analogous quantities of chi and kappa, which exactly have same meaning. Okay, so the meaning here of chi is the following. So if you look at this equation, Kij equation, if you take the trace of it, then only this term will contribute in the perturbation. Okay, so the kappa contributes to the trace part of this Kij, whereas this term chi contributes to the trace free part. So chi in a sense is like the shear of the world lines. Okay, so later on we'll go to a gauge where we'll take shear to be zero. One of the gauges is the Newtonian gauge, we all know. And the Newtonian gauge is when chi is zero, which we have learned. Longitudinal gauge or conformal Newtonian. This quantity is then put to equal to zero in conformal time or this. And then the shear disappears. And then chi goes away everywhere, wherever it is. So this term will go away here and things become very easy. So later on, in the next week, when we come back to these equations, right now what we will do today is to derive these equations in their fundamental form without putting any gauge invariant variables. So then when we do matter equations and do some physics, when we'll come back, we'll put them in the gauge invariant form, and then things will become very clear. And you will see like some equations really simplify a lot if you put some shear or equal to zero and so on. Okay? So this is the, this is like some one cautionary remark. So when you are comparing with some of the books, keep this notation in mind. Like this notation is slightly different. Okay, so now if we do this, then as I showed you today, we have Kij, which we can write Kij as minus h delta ij plus this kappa by 3 delta ij. This kappa is essentially this sitting here, this kappa. And then I can write this further. So gamma, kappa plus, there is a delta chi here. So there is a delta chi by 3, delta ij. And then the last term is just minus of di dj. Oh, what I'm doing? Let us write down. You just reverse the indices, okay. Sorry. So di dj of chi. Okay, so now let us take the trace of, let us work with this equation because this is in simpler form. So if you take the trace of this equation, then k is just minus 3h. Then we get a kappa from here. Then we get a delta chi from here. And, delta chi. Yeah, and then we just get a minus delta chi from here. Okay? So the last two terms cancel if I take the trace. So this disappears completely. And that is why if I take the trace of k, chi doesn't enter. So it's just kappa, which is measuring the perturbation in the trace of the extrinsic curvature. Okay? So now I can easily read out what is delta of k. And delta of k is just this. So this is a big K. This is a small K. This is kappa. That's the perturbation in the extrinsic curvature. Trace of the extrinsic curvature. Okay, so now we know what is delta of k squared, which is very easy. So delta of k squared is 2k delta of k. So this is 2k. So this is the, so now there is a k and delta k. So delta k, we have computed its k. But now for this k, we have to use the background. Otherwise, we'll be working with the nonlinear perturbations. And this k we know. This is this capital K, if it was a background K, then it's minus 3H, right? So it is minus 6H kappa. This is this term, which we need. Okay, so now the homework is, this is homework. Like if you want to do in tutorial, you can try, but it may be slightly lengthy for some people, so I think it is better as a homework, and it can be done in various ways. So the homework is to show that this term, so we have computed this term, delta r, we have computed delta k square. This is super simple because I'll just tell you what this term is. This delta e is some perturbation in the energy density, which we call epsilon. Okay, this is just like the definition of the perturbation in the energy density. So we just have to compute this term. And to do this term, what we have to do, so, okay, the homework is to show that the second term, delta Kij, Kij, is minus 2 kappa H. Okay, so let me give you the hints for this. So first you have to write Kij. So this you can write as in two forms, delta of Kij, and then take Kij, and then the second term with delta acting on that. And then what you have to do is you have to just take the, you know what is Kij, right, which we computed yesterday, the full perturbed expression. We did it. It is also here, somewhere. So this is equation number 32, and the one which we computed from the variation of Hij. So you can also use equation 32 for this. You can write in terms of Hij and the mixed Kij. So write full Kij, and then just take out the delta part of it, and then contract with Kij, with upper indices. You'll have to compute it by contracting with the spatial metric. You have to raise the indices and then just keep the terms for the background and the first order, and then just subtract the background and you will get this answer. Okay? If you're not able to do it, we'll do it in class. It's just straightforward. It's just like equivalent to all these equations written here, as many steps. Okay, it is quite straightforward. You just have to, in the end, you'll have to use the trace property, because it's kij, kij, so some indices will contract. They will drop you factors of 3 and so on. And then in the end, you will see, like, even if things are messy and so on, there will be 2 terms, and the terms will just add up to this. So start with this expression. It will be much simpler. Then you will directly see the answer. Okay? So, good. So now we are there with our equation. So what have we shown? So we had to compute this equation. So we started with the Hamiltonian constraint or the energy density constraint. We have perturbed it. We computed delta R, which is this. We will compute this. Well, that's the answer, minus 2kh, and then delta k square, which is minus of 6kh. So if you look at that equation, so let us look at this equation now. And the energy density's perturbation is epsilon. So I want you guys to look at equation 35 to 35C. 35A to 35C. So what Bardeen calls as energy density is E. So this is the full energy density. So the background energy density is E naught plus epsilon. This is a very different notation than most of the literature. Like, this is really confusing. But take epsilon. This epsilon means delta of rho. So think like this. So this is rho. This is rho naught plus delta rho. Okay? This is what it means. Then we have seen that the momentum was zero, but so momentum by itself is a perturbation, ji, which is 35b, which is di of psi. So psi is a perturbation itself. So momentum is first order perturbation by itself. And then is the stress tensor, which he calls sij, which is p naught plus small pi, which is not 3.14159. This is a symbol pi. This is a perturbation in pressure. And then we have the anisotropic stress part, which is sigma. So this is a very different notation from most of the books. So the way it translates is that this one, what one will mean is Tij in more standard notation. This will be pi plus p plus delta p delta ij plus di dj minus 1 by 3 delta ij sigma. We'll later see what to call sigma. But sigma is essentially an isotropic stress. And this is what also leads to the anisotropic shear and so on. So in GR, many times, for example, if you look at Rai Chaudhuri equation in Wald's book, they denote this with sigma, right? So that is why he has used this kind of a notation. It's a very early relativistic notation. But more traditionally, this is what we are doing. Okay, this pi, small pi is delta p, epsilon is delta rho, E naught is rho naught, and E is rho. So now let us go back to that equation. Let us finish our task. Okay, so let me write it here in this box. So delta R is minus 4 delta phi minus 12 C by A square phi. Minus delta Kij, Kij is plus 2 Kh, plus 2 kappa H. Delta of K square is minus 6 kappa H. And this is 16 pi G epsilon. So now we can divide by 4, and we get our answer. So our answer is, we can divide by minus 4. So we'll get a delta phi plus 3 c by a square. 3 c by a square phi. And then there is a minus 4 from here, which becomes plus kappa h is equal to minus 4 pi g epsilon or delta rho, whatever is our notation. So this is our equation for the perturbations derived from the Hamiltonian constraint. Okay, this is our second master equation. And this equation leads to, which we'll see later on, in a more familiar language, if you go back to conformal time, and if you do start doing, if you write it in terms of the gauge invariant variables, so like just like redressing, this is the final equation. After this, one just has to change the notation and go to conformal time. Like there is no further derivation beyond this equation. This is the final stop. But if you just rewrite in that form, then this equation is the one which, if you look at any book, Mukhanov, Weinberg, or anything, then in the gauge invariant variables, which we will introduce, this equation will give you delta plus 3c or 3k, which people call capital psi, is equal to 4 pi g a square delta rho by rho, or delta. This equation you must have seen in the previous course. This one. Have you seen something similar to this? This is the first equation which we generally write in perturbation theory. And most of the books come to this equation. So this psi is not that psi there. This psi is one of the Bardeen potentials which will come from this phi. So this phi just becomes that psi. Think like this. This delta is a different delta. Like this is a, this delta comes, this delta and this delta are related by 1 over a square. Let us call it some delta prime, delta tilde. Okay? Because of the fact that Bardeen defines his dj as hij di, whereas most of the people define it by gamma ij di. So that is why this a square is always hanging around for us. And this a square goes here. This is just epsilon, which is this rho. And then we have to divide by, so there's rho delta, and yeah, we'll see that later, how it comes about. But this is one of the equations. There is a, let us put a delta here, which is the some delta m or something, which will come from this epsilon. Okay, so now this is the answer for starting from the Hamiltonian constraint. So one of the equations which you derive from, so this equation in most of the books is derived, it is said that you can derive it from g naught naught equal to t naught naught, and then you can use the g naught I, t naught I part, perturb it, and you will get this equation. Whereas we get this, at the moment we have not done this, we will do this later on in the class. Whereas this equation which we have got is directly from the Hamiltonian constraint being satisfied on the hypersurface and just perturbing it. Okay? So this is its geometrical interpretation, what this perturbation equation means. So are there any questions so far? We are prove what? This? This we have proved. No, we just proved it. Wake up. Have some coffee. We proved it. Let me go through the proof again. Do you follow? Like we have proved this or?
Yeah.
We have proved it, man. Come on. We haven't shown this because this is going to a different notation. You are the tutor. Okay, so let me repeat it. You should come and sit here, first of all. Let me repeat what we have done. Forget about this. Maybe this part is confusing, or we get from here to here. I'm just telling you, like, the equation which you see. No, I'll explain it again. The equation, what I wanted to say here was, the equation which you see in most of the books, one of the equations, like, we can pick any book from outside. This is the equation which we have derived. One of the equations is that. Okay? The equation which we derived yesterday is not seen in most of the books. That is hidden somewhere in the derivations. Okay, so what we have done is, we started with this initial Hamiltonian, or the energy density constraint, which relates the energy density E with the intrinsic curvature, this is 3R, and the extrinsic curvature. And we are just perturbing it. So we have delta R, delta of this term, delta of this term, delta of this term. Then to compute delta R, we just compute R, extract delta. That gives a very simple answer, which is just these two terms. Then we compute, you will compute, as tutorial exercise today, David has to do that. So delta Kij, Kij will give you this, and delta K square will give you this. Yeah, it is clear. And then we are just adding and subtracting. Okay, so now let us go to the next equation. So are there any other questions here? Okay, very good. So let us go to the equation for, so instead of starting from the energy density constraint, so 42 is done. So this was our equation number 42 in Bardeen's review. So now let us start with the momentum constraint, initial momentum initial value constraint, which we derived from equation number 14. Okay, this we haven't derived actually. No, we derived it. Yeah, from the Gauss-Kodaichi equations. So let us go there. So the equation we want to consider is the momentum constraint, which we derived. Which we saw, I think, in the first three classes, that dj kji minus di capital K is 8 pi GJI. This was our initial value momentum constraint. Now we are going to do the same thing which we did just now for the energy density constraint, and we are going to perturb it. Okay? And then we'll find the perturbation equation out of it, which will be our second equation, which you have seen many times. Okay, let us do it first. So we again have to start with KJI. So we computed yesterday that KJI is minus H delta JI plus kappa by 3 delta JI plus delta chi by 3 delta JI minus DI DJ chi. So now I want to compute, so this derivation is slightly tricky, so you can fill the missing steps. So now we want to compute delta of this term first, okay? So we take delta of this, and delta of that term. So let us compute delta of this term, which will be essentially dj of delta of kij, and then delta of kij so this is delta of kij part. So this is the full kji part, sorry. So this is the full kij, this is the background part, this is its delta. So we will act this dj on this, so you will get various kinds of terms. You will get a dj acting on kappa, this is a kappa, and then delta ji by 3. Then you will get a dj acting on this delta. So I'm writing this delta not as delta, but I'm writing as dada. Its reason will become very clear in a moment why I'm doing this. The idea is to, I'll just tell you why I'm doing this, okay? There's a trick involved here. So this is by 3, and then delta ji, and then there is a last term which is dj acting on this delta, okay? So all these are these delta terms, and then this dj acts on the last term, which is dj di, dj chi. Okay, so now can somebody tell me, like, what do we do with these two terms? What shall we do? What should be the step to compute? These two terms look familiar to you, right? Forget about the chi. We have done this before last week. Okay? What you'll have to do here is to use again this identity relating di dj, dj di with the Riemann curvature on the hypersurface. That is why I have written in this particular form, so that you can call this a vector, dA chi, similarly call this a vector, and play with those commutators, and then it will drop you a Ricci on the hypersurface. Okay, so my claim is that, so essentially what you'll have to do here, for example, is that this term you can write, you can use the fact that you have dj di minus di dj here. Think of it as one of the terms of the commutator, which will relate to you some vector omega j with the Riemann part and omega, or the Ricci part and the omega of it. Okay? And then if you rewrite this term in terms of this term and this term, then you will get some terms here. That is the first thing. This is the first equation which you will get. The second equation, let us compute the, so we have we know how to compute this. Now let us compute this term. So we will have delta of di k, which is essentially di of delta k, but we just computed delta k, and delta k is kappa. So we will get di of kappa, which is here, in the second term. Okay? So if you add all these terms, so my claim is that if you take the delta of this whole side here, then you will get, by doing this, here. So, and then using the fact that Rij, the background Rij, that Rij is 2c by a square, then you will get delta of dj kji minus di of k, and then this term will be So this will be minus 2 by 3 di of kappa plus di of delta chi minus 2c by a square di of kappa or di of chi. Okay, so how does this 2 by 3 comes? Is because we have a 1 by 3 and 1 by 3 here, and there will be some term coming from here. And when it will add with these terms, it will give a minus 2 by 3 here. Okay? And the c by a square comes exactly from this term. Because you will use this commutator here, it will give you rij, one of the terms, and rij is 2c by a square. If you want to do this calculation without this trick, you can do it using Christoffel symbols and you will get the same answer here. Okay, so this is the first, this is the left hand side of our momentum constraint, momentum constraints perturbation. Okay, so now let us do the right hand side. The right hand side is very simple because Ji is the first order perturbation itself, it is just Di psi. So when I talk about delta of Ji, then this is just Di psi. David, you have some question? You can try to do that, but we are working in the first order.
So in that case, it would be
that. Yeah. You can try to do that. So that is why when you work with Christoffel symbols, you have to be very careful. So you have to see, like, Christoffel symbols may themselves be first order. So you have to, this is true. Like, you can do it explicitly, and you will see in the first order, we are fine. Okay? So now let us do the right-hand side. Okay, so right-hand side, as I said, is very simple because we have just 8 pi g ji. Ji itself is a perturbation. So the perturbation of this is just 8 pi g. Delta of ji, it's perturbation itself, so it's Di psi. It's already first order, the right hand side, okay? So now we have, let us take this left hand side and equate it with the right hand side. So we will get minus 2 by 3 Di kappa plus Di delta chi. And then minus 2c by a square di chi equals 8 pi g di psi. This psi is not the psi which you see in most of the books. This is a small psi, that is a capital psi, that is Bardeen's potential. This is the divergence. The divergence of psi gives you ji, the perturbation in ji. Okay? So now let us take the factor of 2 by 3 common. So basically what we are saying is minus 2 by 3 di kappa plus di delta chi plus 3 c by a square di chi equal to 8 pi g di psi. So I can rewrite whole of this equation in the following way. I can take, so di is acting on each term. Right, I will take di out from each term, put it outside di, and then let us write all these terms. So we will have a first term delta chi, which is this term. Then we will have a kappa, which is this term. Then we will have a 3c by a square, which is this term. And then when minus 2 by 3 acts on this, it gives 24 by 2, which is 12. And if I bring it on this side, it is just 12 pi g psi. So this is the perturbation equation from the momentum constraint. Okay, which is our equation number 43. So the idea is that if you take perturbations in the form of plane waves, for example, if you take perturbations of in the form, let us say Q is some perturbation, and if you take Ki Xi, where Ki is a wave number, when Di will act on this, if it was a flat, for simplicity, you can also forget the flat term. Then when Di will act on all of this, it will drop a Ki. If this equation has to be valid for all wave numbers, you can forget about Di. This is like a simple argument. If you want to do in full generality, including C being non-zero, you'll have to do something which is called, you'll have to do the same for Di, but you'll have to take into account the Christoffel symbols properly. And again, you reach the same conclusion that Di acting on this equal to 0 essentially means that this is equal to 0. Okay? That is the idea. That is why Bardeen writes in that particular form, equation 43. Okay, any questions still here? It is clear? So why don't you do the next derivation here? Yeah.
Why?
Three C over A square. Yeah. Why it is that?
No, that's another
chi. Where?
Behind is a 3C over A square.
Oh, very good. There is a chi here, of course. So there was a chi. Yeah, you're right. Because it's 3C by A square Di chi. So if I take Di out, there is a chi here. Otherwise, it would have been a background term sitting around. Good. Okay, so I think let us do the final equation, and then we are done. So what does this equation give you? Let me see if I can see. Well, actually, this equation doesn't give you something by... No, it gives you equation, equation. Yeah, so this equation, if you look at the books, there will be an equation which will give you in the Bardeen's, in the Mukhanov notation. So there is a capital Psi prime plus H. This H is the Hubble rate in conformal time. And this will give you minus 4 pi g a square 1 plus w rho and some velocity v, which we'll talk about later. So this is one of the equations which we will do later on. So this is called the momentum constraint. This is in the books, it is derived from G naught I equal to T naught I. And then if you look at Mukhanov's book or Weinberg's book or other book, they will write this equation in this form. Okay, the reason there is no delta chi, etc., is because these are Bardeen potentials and they have absorbed those deltas. Okay, but we will see later on. But what I want to stress is that the equation which they write, we have derived, we just have to change the notation and we'll get to their equation. Change the notation and do these variables. Okay, so let us write down the last equation, which is also the longest. So we have derived so far in the class two equations, one starting from the energy density constraint and one starting from the momentum constraint. Now what we are going to do is, instead of the constraints, we are going to look at the dynamical equations, which were our Ki, J, which were the derivatives of Ki, J, equation 15 of Bardeen's paper. And we are going to do the trace part of it. There is also the traceless part of equation 15, which gives equation 45. I'm not going to do this in the class because I want to finish all these today. I'm not going to give this as a homework also because it is tedious. We can just assume it. If somebody is interested, I can tell them separately, okay, how to do this. And actually, we don't need that equation. It turns out that if you have four of the gravity equations, 41 to 45, if you know any four, and if you know the matter equations, then they are sufficient system. So you are at liberty to forget one of them. So we'll forget about it, unless we need it later on. Okay. So we are not missing any information anyway. Okay, so let us derive the final equation. So one thing which we didn't do, which I think can be today's tutorial exercise, is to start from equation 15. So we have equation 15, which were our six dynamical equations. So Kij 0 plus Nk, Kijk minus Nik, Kkj plus Nkj, Kik, and then this is equal to, so far we derived the perturbation equations from constraint. Now we'll derive perturbation equations from dynamical equations. So this will finish our derivation of all the equations. Then we'll just redress them where we need them and study and extract some physics out of them. So this was S minus E. Okay, so what we can prove from here is that if we take the trace of this equation, and maybe one also has to use the fact that one is dik equal to 0. So if you take the trace of this equation, then one gets delta n equal to n times kij plus 4 pi g e plus, okay, let's call it skk minus k0. So this is equation number 16 of Bardeen's review. And the claim is that if you take the trace of this equation, and maybe one also has to use dik equal to 0. I don't remember how I did this. So if you're not able to derive it straight away from the trace, one can put di of k equal to 0, and then one will get that equation. So now let us perturb this equation. So this is our one set of dynamical equations. So we have taken, this was a full dynamical equation, which has a trace part and the trace-free part. We are taking the trace part, which will give us one equation, then the trace-free part will give us the other equation. Okay, so where are we? So let us start with the simplest thing. So let us start with what I wrote down, Sij there, this Sij. So let me compute the perturbation in delta S first, and then the perturbation in delta of this term, the matter part first, and then we will do these terms because we have also seen them. So Sij in Bardeen's notation is pi naught, p naught plus pi delta ij plus di dj sigma minus 1 by 3 delta sigma of delta ij. And if I take the trace of this Sii, then I will just get 3 from the first Kronecker delta, and then I'll get a delta sigma from this term, okay, And then I'll get a delta sigma from here, from the last term. Because delta ij will again give a 3. This 3 will cancel with this 3. This gives delta sigma. This gives delta sigma. They both cancel here. Okay. So the trace is in very familiar form, which you have seen many times. The trace of the stress part. In the background is 3p. Now there's a perturbation, 3 pi, on top of it. So if I have to write down trace of delta Sii, this is 3 pi. This pi is delta p. Okay, that's the first step. Now the second step. So delta of 4 pi g e plus skk is therefore delta of E, we know is epsilon from there. Okay? Delta of trace of S we have computed. So this is just 4 pi g epsilon plus 3 pi. That's the first equation. So we have computed this. Now let us compute where do we need this? Okay, good. So we have this delta of k0. So let us do this here. So we have computed this term. Now let us do this term. So this is k0 term, trace of extrinsic curvature and its time derivative. If I want to take its delta, it's delta of k 0. Okay? And this delta k we have computed earlier. We know that delta of capital K was just kappa. So this k0 terms perturbation is just kappa 0. Okay? Very simple. So okay, we have done this term. And this term is anyway your homework, which I gave earlier, that delta kij is minus 2kh. So you see, like, we use this at various places. It's a very useful identity. So delta kij is minus 2 kappa h. So we have computed this term also. Now let us do the other part. Okay. Is this clear or it is confusing? Huh? Or shall I erase the blackboard better? Because I'm myself lost in the previous writing a little bit. Okay, so we have computed these three terms, but now we have to compute delta n, the delta of n, and n. And then just contract, take the first order part, and we'll get the answer. Okay? Let us do that. So this term, delta n, is dk, some dk of n, where n is the full n. And what was our n? What is our n? Yeah, so n is given, n's perturbation we know. So we perturb n. So we had an n naught in the background, and the perturbation is 1 plus is n naught alpha on top of it. So this is our n. This is equation number 28, which we did earlier. So this is a perturbation in the lattice, where n naught is a, where n naught doesn't depend on the spatial coordinates, right? So we have this quantity as dk n naught 1 plus alpha. And from here, if I want to find the perturbation of this quantity, then delta of delta n is, this is the, so I don't care about the background part anyway, so I will get n naught outside, because dk doesn't act on n naught, dk dk of alpha. So my answer is that the perturbation is n naught delta alpha. Okay? It is very simple. So now what we want to compute, what have we computed here? So we have n naught delta alpha terms. We have Kij term. Then we have a something is okay, that's a good point. Yeah, so we should have been slower. Okay, so we have computed all these terms, but I want to go back to this equation once more. Okay, because otherwise we'll miss one term if we don't do it carefully. We have all the material which we need, but this is going to cause some subtlety here. And so let us write down in the, so let us write down fully this equation once more, so then it will become clear to you. So let us write down delta n as, we have n, this is our full equation, and we want to subtract the background from it and extract the perturbation term, the first order perturbation term from it. Okay? Okay. So, you see, this term, if I write n term is n naught 1 plus alpha. So let me write down n term here itself. So this term is n naught 1 plus alpha. So this was our n sitting here. Okay. So if it was just n naught here, if there was no alpha here, is everyone following what I'm saying? If there was no alpha in the lattice sitting here, then what we have computed would have been sufficient, because this n naught is just sitting outside. It's a constant. We don't care about it. And then we have computed delta of this, and we also know the delta of the last term. But there is also an alpha sitting here. Okay? So the alpha sitting here means this is the first order perturbation, and I should also multiply with the background of this. Right? So there is a full term. So I take the background, first step, there will be two contributions. One, background of this, and the full first order perturbation of this. And the second, this will add with perturbation of this with the background of this. Okay? So there will be this. So what we computed was a perturbation of this. The background of this is very simple. We have done it many times. So let us also do that. So what we need is the Kij background. So all this is background. BB is the background. Kij background is, what is Kij? Did I give you the exercise to compute Kij in the background? Or we didn't do it? Okay, anyway, Kij is minus H of delta Ij. So Kij background, you can show that this is very simple. This is just 3 times H square. So that is fine. And this is, this in the background, this term in the background, is just 4 pi G E naught, because E in the background is E naught, and the trace of S in the background is P naught, 3P naught. Is it clear what we are doing? Okay. So we are computing this and this in the background, both of them. So the trace of, so if I compute this in the background, from, so the E in the background is E naught. If I compute S, then we just computed S right here. Sii was 3P naught plus 3pi. So the background part is 3P naught. So I just put a 3P naught here. This is the background terms. These are my background in the bracket. Okay, very good. So now let us erase this part, and we are all set. So now let us collect all the terms which we have. Good. So from here, we get the left-hand side, since dk, dk doesn't act on n naught, the left-hand side delta n in its full glory is just n naught delta alpha. The right-hand side, the first term is n naught 1 plus alpha, and then this full bracket, where the first term is, let us split this in the background and the perturbation. So the background of this is giving us 3x square. The perturbation of kij, kij is was to be done here, is minus 2kh, minus 2 kappa h. Background of this will give me 4 pi g e naught plus 3p naught. And the perturbation of this, we just computed, is 4 pi g epsilon plus 3 pi. So let us write it here. And now we just multiply, subtract the background, and get the first order terms. So the perturbation equation, which we will get, is n naught delta alpha. The left-hand side is for the perturbation itself. There is no background there. And we will get, so there are two terms here, n naught plus n naught alpha. So let us first look terms with n naught, which will give us the first order perturbation. So n naught acting on this term is giving us one term, minus 2k n naught h. Then n naught acting on this term, which will give us plus 4 pi g n naught epsilon plus 3 pi. Now alpha acting on zero order terms here, the background terms. Oh, sorry, there is a k0 also, which we forgot completely. So minus k0. So let me put a minus k0, which was coming from here. Okay? I'll put it here, minus of k0. And then there is a minus of k0 term here. And then there is a, so what is the other perturbation? Yeah, so we will get so there is n naught 1 plus alpha, so n naught delta alpha, and then this term. It's going to give us just h dot, because h dot has a n naught. Yeah. H dot by, yeah. Okay, so what we are going to use is the, okay, let us do carefully. So we have, so we have the other term, plus n naught alpha which will have which will give us 3x squared plus 4 pi g e naught plus 3 p naught. Okay. So I can take this 3 outside. So is everyone with me till here? Now I will take this 3 outside and call it 4 pi g by 3, e naught plus 3 p naught. And this equation is very familiar to us because this is just our minus of h dot by, this is h square plus this, yeah. This is just minus of h dot by n0. This we have seen many times in different ways. So this is just h dot plus h square is minus 4 pi g by 3 rho plus 3 p, which can be derived using Friedman and Rai-Chaudhuri equation in the background. Okay? And this is also, I thought I gave you this as a homework also, equation 26 of Bardeen review. This is the background equation. Okay? So this n naught and this n naught cancel. And what we get in the end, if we divide by n naught and rearrange the terms, is just that k dot, kappa dot by n naught plus 2 kappa h is minus delta plus 3 h dot by n naught. I will just explain what we are doing. 4 pi g epsilon plus 3 pi. I'm just rearranging this stuff. So let me explain you. First, let me explain you what we are doing here. So we'll get these terms. We have this n naught 1 plus alpha outside, and then there are some terms inside. So we'll keep the, so this k0 is outside. This is not within the bracket, okay? So we'll first take n naught and act on the first order terms inside. Then we'll take n naught alpha and act on the zero order terms inside. So this gives us the first order perturbation. Then the n naught alpha terms, they fortunately come in a very nice way, which is this, which is our h dot equation in the background. Okay? We just use h dot, we just call it h dot. This is an n naught because there we haven't fixed laps n naught equal to 1. And then we will get some terms here. And then I just divide by n naught everywhere in the equation. So I get a delta alpha. Where is my delta alpha? There is a delta alpha. Yeah, there is an alpha here. Sorry, sitting here. Which is also in his alpha. Right. So there is a. So we get a delta alpha term. We get a. So this n naught cancels with this. It gives a minus 3 h dot n naught by alpha. And that gives us 3 h dot by n naught because we are dividing by n naught. Then we have this 4 pi g by 3 e naught plus. No, 4 pi g. Epsilon plus 3 pi, we divide by n naught, we get this. Then we have a k0 term, which is k dot. And then we divide by n naught, we get a n naught. We brought it to this side. And then we had a 2 kappa n0h. We divided by n naught, brought it to this side, we got 2 kappa h. Okay, so this is our final perturbation equation, which we are going to derive. This is also called Rai-Chaudhuri perturbation equation because it's essentially it comes from the trace part of Kij, the perturbation. So this finishes our derivation from 41 to 44. If you wish, if we have time, we will do 45. If you don't want, we will not do 45. We will just assume it where we need it. We will not need it much. But this equation, which we have just derived, you have seen it many times. Oh, actually, this equation is the one which is more complicated to derive. Yeah. Actually, this equation is very, if you look at many books, there will be one equation which will be very complicated. And that is this equation. And here we get it in a very simple way. The equation which we haven't derived is the equation 45. And the equation 45 is the one which will translate to a very simple form in terms of body potentials, which is psi minus phi is 8 pi g a square p, or 8 pi g a square 8 pi g psi, 8 pi g sigma. So this is equation 45, which we haven't done. If you want, we can do it, but it's slightly lengthy than all of these equations to derive. I think this equation you must have seen in the previous course. Okay? This equation gives you, this equation you have to use with one more equation to give you double derivative of psi and so on. That is this equation. So today what we have done is we have started from what we started last week from the 3 plus 1 formalism, and then we derived the initial Hamiltonian constraint, initial momentum constraint, the six dynamical equations. Today we have seen how to get all of the cosmological perturbation equations just from these facts without using anything else anywhere. Okay, we haven't done the trace-free part, or we haven't done the trace-free part of this equation. If you are interested, we can do that. Okay? Can you? Do you want to do that? You want to do that? Or do we all want to do it in the class? No? Okay. I think let us stop.